I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, so you did something that I really liked in your most recent article, and that is, in a piece you put out yesterday, it's really a dream come true for degenerate Browns gamblers, because you took all the numbers that are out there, and you talked about which bets make maybe the most sense, and of all the numbers you saw out there, and we're allowed to talk gambling now since it's legal. It used to be so taboo. Now we can talk about it openly. Which bet, if you are trying to make the most money on the Cleveland Browns, makes the most sense? Because, you know, we get delusional around these parts this time of year every year.
I think Myles Garrett, 14-1 to lead the league in sacks. He had 13.5 last year. You know, he said he was only allowed to use 2 pass rush moves. The Browns were really bad for half the year. It's usually going to be around 18 that's going to win it. And so it's not much of a jump. I know they got Olivier Vernon, but if the Browns score points and Myles Garrett stays healthy, I think 18 is a reasonable, I guess, expectation. I don't think that's ridiculous to say.
Yeah, Aaron Donald last year had 20.5, and obviously they were playing with the lead, so I think that's what you're assuming. Browns are going to be playing with the lead. They can do the old pin their ears back and come after the quarterback. J.J. Watt had 16, and Chris Jones had 15.5. I think that's a good one. I think it's an interesting bet.
Yeah, it was not. It has not been more than 18 for 5 years until Aaron Donald did it last year. So, you know, you can't control that. But I just think Myles Garrett is ready to take another step. I really do.
Any of the numbers surprise you?
Well, you know, some of it, Jason, is just based on perception. I would say most importantly, like looking at 9 for the season win totals. No, that did not surprise me. That implies that they're going to be contending for the division, that they're going to have a winning record. I think most people in Cleveland would say 12, right? But the start of the schedule is just brutal, the first 8 games, really. And that includes Monday night games on opposite coasts in a short amount of time. It includes a trip to Baltimore that's almost an automatic loss, and I don't care what people say about Lamar Jackson. You have to be really good to go in there and win. So that number seemed about right. I understand why they're favored in the division, because I think they're the best team in the division. You know, 1-53. We'll see how it shakes out, who stays healthy, how they grow. But right now, a week before everybody goes to camp, the Browns have the most talent in the AFC North division. I stand by that. I'm not the only one who has that opinion. And we'll see how it shakes out once we get to the real games.
Now, Zach, you say, hey, maybe we need to pump the brakes on all the assuming that the Browns are just going to roll out there in the opener and beat the Titans. And that spread is at 5.5. You think that's going to be a pretty good game?
I do. I mean, the Titans have been flirting with the playoffs. They didn't have their quarterback last year. They ended up changing offensive coordinators because Matt LaFleur moved on. But the Titans, I think, are probably similar to where the Browns are in their actual progress. The Browns just have much more hype and flash. You know, Vrabel's been there for a year. The quarterback is in place. Now, I don't think Marcus Mariota is as talented as Baker Mayfield, but I also, you know, he's not been healthy, and they've been steadily putting pieces around him. So the Browns have not been a good tackling team, and you know, they're thin in some areas. The roster's obviously much better, but the defense is my concern. Now, some of that is just that I think the offense, if everything goes well, is going to be really, really good. So that would be the one concern area. But, you know, they gave up almost 400 yards a game last year, and they just haven't tackled. So the Titans are going to run Derrick Henry at the Browns until they tackle him. And then if the Browns do that, then they can be in a position to where they make Mariota beat them.
Hey, Zach, why are some teams open this week? That was the question I had earlier. Is it Anthony thought it was because of the Hall of Fame game, or why is it some guys?
15 days before your first preseason game is when your veterans can report to camp. So that it ends up being pretty standard because guys want to get to work. So the Browns play 3 Thursdays from now. So they'll report a week from today. They'll have their conditioning test, their orientation, and they'll be on the field 2 weeks from today. So, yeah, the Falcons and the Broncos are reporting today and tomorrow, I believe.
Is there anything you want to see out of training camp? Is there anything that you're eager to learn or find out?
Yeah, you know, we know so little about the rookies, not, you know, except Greedy Williams and these other guys. And it just history says you're going to need these other guys. Well, for once, the Browns have frontline guys, right? So that's been all the focus of the offseason. OBJ, Sheldon Richardson, Olivier Vernon. They're going to have a new starting linebacker when they play base defense. We have to find out if Austin Corbett can win the starting job. But just, you know, you're going to get past the 22 in some form or fashion. And even in six open OTA practices, as I've been saying here and other places for months, they just mean nothing. So when you get into camp and you're going two out of 3 days going at it pretty good, and practices are 2.5 hours and they're in pads, you're going to start to see some guys emerge. And the Browns are going to need that. I mean, their special teams last year were god-awful. Couldn't be any worse. So there's a new special teams coach, so there's new jobs to be won there. The secondary on paper with everybody healthy is really good, so it's going to be a grind to win one of those 10 or 11 spots. And then as good as the first four receivers are, they have to, you know, worry about the future. Maybe worry is not the right word, but they have to look towards the future with some cheap young guys that they can develop up to be next in line if this offense is going to be what you think it's going to be for the next few years. So you don't see a lot of that early on just because guys are so – everything's so new and they're just kind of going through the motions. So you get into camp and you see guys really start to earn it. Like last year, Derek Willis was like 10th in line the whole camp. And then all of a sudden we got to the third preseason week, the only one that really counts. And they had him out there on first kickoff team. They had him out there with the second team offense. And they were like, we really like his talent. Let's see what he's got. So there's really a lot of that you don't see, not just until camp, Jason, but until you really get into camp.
Zach Jackson joined us on the hotline. You can also catch him on the A to Z podcast. So everything we knew about training camp last year, we learned in a heavily edited TV show, Hard Knocks. And then we drew all these conclusions. And now to this day, I hear people mentioning like two moments in time that was on that show as to why either Hugh Jackson's the worst coach ever and why Freddie's the best coach ever. We don't have that show this year. Do we have any idea what kind of camp Freddie Kitchens is really going to run?
Not yet, because there's been little talk about it. I mean, this was brought up at the owners' meetings and things like that, but you know that goes back months ago now. You know, I do think they're going to push the guys because I think you have to an extent. But this is an argument that is had in every city every year, and there is no winner, Anthony. I mean, training camp matters because you need live reps, because you need timing. Guys have got to get themselves ready to play. But it's long established. I mean, this new CBA goes back to 2011, that the best offensive lines don't get rolling until October because they don't get live reps. And it's long established that if you don't have your guys, you don't have a chance. So, you know, I would encourage folks to pump the brakes when you look at the Browns' early schedule, you know, just for reasons of teams they play and everything being new. But also, like last year showed, when you're back in the living, breathing, relevant NFL, all you need to do is stay afloat early. And then you figure things out in October and turning into November and find out what you're good at. Early on, the games are going to be close, and you just kind of find out about your team. I think Freddie's going to do that. I think Freddie is going to rely on his past experience of working for guys like Bill Parcells and Bruce Arians, who really know what they're doing. Now, how it's going to shake out, you know, injury-wise and getting guys ready, you know, we'll see. The Browns have a practice scheduled for the day after the first preseason game. That tells me the starters aren't going to play. You know, the next week, I know they're going to get at least one full day of real work in against the Colts, and I am a big fan of those practices. Now, when that game comes around, are the starters going to play? I don't know. Do they need to? You know, I think Freddie and Steve Wilks and those guys know a lot better than we do. It's just going to be our job to argue about it.
All right. We had an argument earlier, not really an argument. We were talking about the Madden ratings. Baker is an 83. Is that too high, too low, or right where it should be?
Oh, he's going to have a chip on his shoulder about that. That's all I can say.
Oh, really? You think he's going to be offended by something someone said about him and his talent?
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right. I'm excited to see Baker you know, get back to work, obviously, with Odell Beckham and with these guys. I mean, I think there are times this year that Baker's going to be challenged by teams that have seen him on film, right, and know him more. But I also think everything's there. I really do. And so I'm not saying he's going to be the best quarterback in the league a year from now or 6 months from now. But I'm not saying he's not either. Like, it's all there, and they've done an incredible job of putting guys around him in a short amount of time. And we'll see what happens. But, yeah, he's going to be pissed off about that injury.
Zach Jackson joined us on the hotline. It's the Demaryius Randall stuff about his contract. There was some reporting over the last week that, you know, they've re-engaged in contract talks. Of course, that to me really doesn't mean much until they actually get a deal done, because who knows how far apart they will be. Where do you see this going? How valuable player is he? What do you think he can make?
Well, I think he's a really valuable player, and I think he can make a lot. But what has happened, you know, barring a total jump one way or the other, I wouldn't find it as alarming, because basically the Browns knew they were going to spend a lot of money. Now, not all the way to the cap, but they knew they were going to spend a lot of money in the offseason, and they did. And they basically took the organizational stance of, we are going to wait on Demaryius Randall because we have him for this year. We've already spent a lot of money, and we have a new coordinator. So we're just going to kind of see. Now, they saw the market go in Demaryius Randall's favor with all the safeties getting all that money. But they're just going to kind of make sure that he's the perfect fit here and see how it goes. And, like, you know, Schobert's up after this year. Treader's up after this year. You got some receivers making an exorbitant amount of money. You've got Myles Garrett, seasoned from eligible to be one of the highest paid players in the whole league. So in some of these cases, you're just going to have to wait and let it play out. And, you know, whether that's guys testing the market. You know, the Browns could franchise Randall if they don't get something done. But that's all, honestly, for next January, February, and March. I think right now it's just let them play, let them get comfortable. And then if there comes a time in the season to extend him and push some of it this year, they'll do that. But I don't think it's been a – I think both sides have been of the understanding of the Browns are just going to let this one play out, as they're going to have to do with some other ones, you know, as you get closer and closer to the cap.
I want to switch gears here to college football. We have not talked much Ohio State football at all up here. Obviously, no Urban Meyer and no Jim Tressel for the first time in just about 19 years. And now, I saw this morning, Doug Lemarise did his annual poll. He pulled 34 writers from around the Big Ten. And would you believe it is the Michigan Wolverines who ended up getting the top spot in the preseason poll that he conducted? Not Ohio State. Does that surprise you in any way?
Yeah, I mean, do people not watch the game every Saturday after Thanksgiving, every single year? it does surprise me. I understand, you know, that Urban's gone, but Ohio State is still absolutely loaded, and they've just absolutely owned Michigan. And Michigan was favored last year and got 62 dropped on them. So I'm actually in Michigan right now on vacation, and people see your Ohio plates and they, like, shudder. So it's a very sensitive topic, but that does surprise me that so many people would ignore what the reality has been. And I'm not even an Ohio State homer, as you know. I'm just saying what it is.
What do you expect to see out of Ryan Day this year?
I think the team will be. I think last year showed it. I think the team will be organized. They'll be explosive. I think they'll go for the kill on Lane Kiffin in week one, in a little bit of Urban Meyer style, kind of a nod to him. But I think just to kind of build the confidence. And they lost some really good receivers and some really important leadership in McLaurin and Paris Campbell, the guys that had been there 4 and 5 years. But, you know, they're loaded at quarterback. They're always going to be loaded at the skill positions. The defense was pretty bad for a lot of last year. So you shore up the coaching, which I think they did. They got some good personnel back. I mean, Chase Young is a potential top 10 pick. And it's just loaded with guys across the board. I mean, NFL scouts just drool. Every class has 10 or 12, you know, highly draftable players. And so how it works out over the course of 3, 4, 5 years, no one knows, of course, but they're loaded. So I know there's some challenges. Cincinnati, is that the second week, Anthony?
Mm-hmm.
You know, at Northwestern on a Friday night, the strangest scheduling in Ohio State history. But I think Ryan Day will do a fine job. I think he's done a great job of putting experienced coaches around him And like I said, until/unless that talent takes a big drop off, I don't know why Ohio State won't be a 10-11-12 win team every single year, because they're just that much better than almost everybody they play.
All right, Zach Jackson, terrific stuff. We got to go, but I just was recently told by numerous people who follow college basketball very closely that Cleveland State is the worst job in the country. Are they far off?
Well, right now it would be in the discussion, right? They have like three players on scholarship. It's the middle of July, and they fired a coach that they never should have hired in the first place. But I don't think that that necessarily is true, because I think you can win in the Horizon League if you get a couple players. I know that because I spend my Thursdays in the winter watching Horizon League. So it's going to be an interesting hire. It's an interesting situation, but I'm glad you're out there driving the bus and getting the Vikings some attention.
I'm one of the few. Thank you very much.
I know.
Zach,
I've read your text.
Appreciate it. We'll see you. There he is, Zach Jackson, appearing on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. A lot to unpack there. He said that he does not think the Browns will play their starters in that first preseason game because of the schedule. They have a practice scheduled the day after. Also said, if you're a betting person, go with Myles Garrett and the over on that sack total. He says he thinks, winning the sack total crown, if there is such a thing, in the NFL.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.